Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
This is a case and one of the most disturbing examples of power manipulation and cover-up that we have seen in a long time. We're talking about Sandra Birchmore, a young woman who for years was groomed and abused by a police officer, I should say possibly more than one, in Stoughton, Massachusetts. Okay, let's just say it was more than one, without a doubt. An officer who allegedly murdered her and staged the scene to look like a suicide. The officer, Matthew Farwell. And the real kicker, he wasn't the only one involved. His twin brother and another officer also had inappropriate relationships with Birchmore. And as you dig deeper, the more it starts to look like a whole system was working to protect its own. And for a while, it worked. Birchmore's death was ruled a suicide. The case was closed. But then the FBI steps in. And when the feds come knocking, you know, things are about to get real. But here's where it gets wild. How did this cover-up last so long? How do you fake a suicide and get away with it, at least for a few years? And most importantly, who else knew about this and looked the other way? Joining us today is retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, who knows exactly how these cases unfold. Jennifer, let's get right into it. When a cop is the suspect, how much harder is it to uncover the truth? And how often do you see a blue wall of cover-ups in a case like this?
Well, first of all, Tony, in this particular case, of course, he slinked in and slinked out of the crime scene. And you had individuals that I don't think did a decent job at all really understanding and combing through that crime scene and properly collecting the evidence. In addition, you had a medical ME rule that this was a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you have, let's start with that. Whenever you have an ME, and by the way, investigators find this out right away. In the last case I had that involved a murder, potential murder, I should say,
mm-hmm.
I think it was a murder. I was at the autopsy. You go to the autopsy. Somebody is there because you want to know right away, what are you dealing with? Was this an accident, a suicide, a homicide? What is the manner of death? So these investigators know straight away what the ME has concluded for the most part, even though it's not official and they have to go through a lot of you know, tests and so on, toxicology, so on. So when you have a situation that is ruled a suicide, it's very difficult for you then to say you have a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Karen Reed case as an example. In that case, they made no strong decision, that ME, on what exactly it was, whether it was a homicide or you know, accidental, or they just did a terrible job with making a strong pronouncement. And the I think they pronounced it undetermined. And of course, that's been a big deal, right? Because Proctor was angry about that and said, come on, you got to, you know, make a decision one way or the other. And this whole thing stinks of homicide. That's how he felt about it. But my point is as a detective, as an agent, as an investigator, you cannot just say you can't go against medical evidence. It's very, very difficult. And that's why when the FBI stepped in, one of their first steps was to have another ME look at everything. And they, they said, no way, this is a homicide.
How, I mean, and that's where it gets to the disturbing level of, in you start to feel that this is a cover-up, that it goes just beyond Farwell. Obviously, you had his twin brother who was involved with her. You have the school resource officer who had been involved with her. And God knows who else, quite honestly, at this point. I know nobody else has been accused, but at this point, anything would surprise me. And then this person that everybody is, involved with, to put it nicely, dies. Like right there, right when Farwell is around, and everybody's just like, "Oh, suicide, totally suicide." You have to assume, especially if you look at the case and you've seen suicides before and you've seen homicides before, it's not like one person is showing up and Matthew Farwell's the only one there with his notepad going, "Yep, it's a suicide. Coroner, take the body. I will do the official judgment on how she died, and case closed. We're good." There's other people in there doing those roles. How did everyone miss that?
Well, that's a great question, and I can't wait for the FBI to get to the bottom of it, because I always say this: incompetence mimics corruption.
Yeah.
So, so often, you know, the public wants to jump to the conclusion everybody's corrupt. Everybody who was involved is corrupt. And actually, in this case, I think it might be leaning toward huge concern about others being involved.
Yeah.
But you have a stage scene and you have a police officer who's done it. So he knows some of the tricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what to say. Oh, desperate girl. She was pregnant. She just wanted to get out. The problem is nothing matched that narrative.
Yeah.
She was planning a baby shower. She told people how excited she was to have this baby. She was right in the middle of doing domestic duties. I think she had a load in the dryer and the washer. It looked like she was doing wash. You know, oh, and by the way, in the middle of this, I think I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
You know, nothing matched up. Crime scene was, remember, she was hanging from a doorknob, as I recall. And again, the physics of all of that, it just, none of it matched up when you looked at the evidence.
How often do people hang themselves from doorknobs? I mean, that, like, I'm looking at my doorknob, like, how, I don't even know how I could do that, quite honestly. I mean, you'd have to, like, really almost strangle yourself. That wouldn't be a hanging at that point.
Yeah, it's there. That crime scene screamed of a homicide. Several of us said that well in advance of any charges, well in advance. Everyone that looked at the Sandra Birchmore case said, no way. Look at the footage of Farwell sneaking out with a mask on. The whole thing was absolutely obvious, I think, to many, that this was nefarious, that this was quite likely a homicide. But it took, again, a medical examiner going through the evidence medically and saying, yes, this is not a suicide.
Are we going to see more charges in this case? Not necessarily murder, but part of this cover-up, and I don't know what that charge exactly would be, but do you think we're going to see more with that?
Well, there could be accessory charges, and I think the number one person on the chopping block at this point is the brother.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it I would be surprised if he didn't aid and abet in some way. But I think the downfall to any and everybody who might be involved in this will be the communications. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see communications that will lead to, you know, helping discover who, if anybody, is involved, or was this just completely incompetence. And I do think this, when you look at how the statements are written and how congenial they are, it's really sickening. I mean, they're not professional. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt said this. I think one of them, you know, as I mentioned, they use his first name.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was reading this thinking, wow, this is, nobody should be conducting an investigation that calls a potential suspect by their first name, and it's all, you know, believed on yeah. its face. So all of that is extremely concerning in this case.
I think the other part that's obviously extremely concerning to everyone is, you know, the fact that the allegations are that Farwell started having a sexual relationship back with her in 2014. They met in 2011. That's pretty far back now in terms of, I think, what we're going to be able to find in terms of digital evidence and footprint, not necessarily for the murder, but more so for the sexual relationship, the statutory rape of a minor. That was going on, as least as far as the allegations go. That's what we have against Farwell. And it does make you wonder then who else was involved in that. I'm just wondering how far back can they look into any sort of digital footprint of texts back and forth, anything, you know, when we're talking literally more than a decade now?
Oh, the Bureau will go back as far as they can go. As far as what's going to be available, that will depend on, you know, the carriers and, yeah. and things like that, how far their records go back and what they're able to ascertain. But the Bureau will go back as far as they possibly can from, you know, when she was an explorer. And she, you know, was looking up as these officers, as, you know, idolizing them. Mm-hmm. And all he did to groom her, Tony, supposedly, you know, going to the library and just grooming her, you know, in this relationship. It's all so disgusting, yeah. honestly. And then passing her off in later years, you know, to people he knew, just. How she was treated and I would argue trafficked
yeah.
is just sickening.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, how far back is this going to go? I mean, it certainly doesn't reach the Diddy levels of trafficking. But if you look at it as, you know, he started this grooming as a minor, brought her in and literally kind of did traffic her around to friends. I mean, crudely, you could say he kind of pimped her out to his buddies. And it's so messed up. It's so beyond disturbing. And the fact that these other people went, oh, yeah, sure. Oh, you mean that girl that you've been hanging out with at the library since she was like 12 or 14 or whatever it was? It's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Have her come on over. It's just such a lack of moral character, of any sort of decency, and just everything. It's so sickening that there was this congested group of people that all kind of thought the same way about another human being. Usually you kind of have your one-offs here and there, but this is like a little cabal of them that were all kind of feeling the same sick way.
Yeah, and I'm going to go beyond it, because people don't just exercise these types of actions toward one individual.
Yes.
Typically. I'm wondering how many more possible victims we could have. Obviously not to this level, you know, somebody else that would have been killed, mm-hmm. but somebody else that he would have either, you know, raped at a young age, attempted to, had conversations with, all of that. And then the other big thing is, Tony, I see this guy flipping like a fish on a dock.
Yeah.
He could face the death penalty for what he's done, and I see him totally lining out everyone in his department and anyone who's done anything there to avoid the death penalty. That's what I see down the road.
And a lot of them have resigned. A lot of them will never be officers again. A lot of them are just still out there in the free world. And I'm not going to name any names or anything like that because it's all allegations still, innocent until proven guilty. But how do you think there's a lot of people out there that are just kind of counting their days waiting for the FBI to come knocking at this point?
Yes, I really do. And the FBI probably has knocked. I mean, the Bureau is very slow, meticulous. They don't leave any stones not unturned, and that's what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And we know from the Karen Reed case that there was a public corruption case that was spurred again by Karen Reed's counsel, mm-hmm. right? We know exactly where the feds first got mentioned in the Karen Reed case because it came out in a hearing mm-hmm. and we all heard it. And so we know where those charges, or not charges, but where the look-see began mm-hmm. With, you know, from them. But there's, you know, definitely, you know, Norfolk County and other counties have been looked at closely in public corruption arena. And this is a case that to me should be a beacon of cases that individual, a case that people should be concerned about. Yeah. They should be screaming. Look at what happened to this girl. What else happened in this department? What else happened with other people involved in this investigation? Yeah. This is the one that everyone, I think I wrote pink shirts and green shirts, you know, the bloggers people and the Reed people. This is what I would be spending my time on. But you know what? Then they wouldn't be making any money. And they're making lots of money in the other way. So
true.
But this should be the one. This is the case.
This is one that could have so many legs. I mean, this thing can spider out to so many places because you find one person over here in this department that was into it. Okay, well, that one person's into it. And like you said, and as we know, they're birds of a feather. They all kind of flock together. And so you got this one over here. Who does he have over here that doesn't necessarily know this group over here, but they're doing this over here? And this could go all over the place. And really, if that is true, as sad and disturbing as that would be, it could be a massive way to remove a lot of horrible people from places in government and in public service that they should not be.
And they should be. They need to be removed. Yeah. I can tell you, as a former law enforcement, retired law enforcement, there is nothing that is more, will make you more angry and irritated is to see somebody from the blue disgrace the badge, disgrace what they swore they would do. You know, it's, I guess, like the converted smoker, right? You know, that the smoke bothers them more than anything. That's mm-hmm. how law enforcement feels. But you know, Tony, what would go a long way to doing a big right down there would be for state charges to be filed. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest reasons is that unborn child, federally, there can be no murder charges related to that child because, you know, the Bureau took a very interesting way to be able to charge her when normally they wouldn't have jurisdiction. They charged her because she was a witness. Mm-hmm. So murder of a witness in a case. That's how they went after it to get the federal jurisdiction. Well, mm-hmm. they don't have that, obviously, for the unborn child. I want to see the state come back, file full-on charges in this matter, and include the death of the baby.
Do you think that would happen before Farwell goes to his own trial, the federal trial, or would that be an after thing?
I think it should be now. Look at Luigi Mangione.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody and their dog wanted to file those cases against him. Mm-hmm. And so now you have concurrent, you know, cases going on in different jurisdictions. So this is the time.
Yeah.
This is the time I think they should be working with the FBI, and I think local charges should also be brought. That's my opinion. I don't understand why they wouldn't be.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.